Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3 is where we're at. Let's get into it. So again, well, let's pray before I start yakking here. Jesus, thanks for your word. Thanks for John. Thanks for a man who's godly and yet intense. I like that a lot. God, thank you for the work that you do in a man's heart in turning him from, in this case, a son of thunder into an apostle of love. And Lord, as we're going through and looking at what he has to say about real righteousness here this evening, we pray that you would make that real in our lives too, Lord. We want the real purity that comes from you. And so, God, we ask that you'd work this all out in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, hearkening back to chapter 2, end of the chapter, verses 28 and 29. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And that's an outline for all of chapter 4, or all of chapter 3. And so there's a purity that we need to have as Christians. Otherwise, when Christ appears, we're going to be ashamed. And that's the first couple of verses, the first three verses in chapter 3. And then he begins talking about righteousness and people practicing righteousness. And so we went through verses 4 basically down to verse 10, talking about the practice of righteousness. And I just want to reiterate this whole thing in this sense. When John is talking about being a righteous believer or having this walk with Christ, he always connects it with abiding in the Lord. Okay, and so we cannot be the men and women that God wants us to be by keeping rules and regulations. It's never going to happen. Rules and regulations just show us to be full of fault and to be full of guilt and that kind of thing. But there is a way to become righteous. And so the fact that I can't do it on my own or do it by the rules doesn't mean that it can't be done. So it's not when you're a believer who is saved by grace, that does not mean I have punted. You know, in football, right? You can get down to fourth down and it's 4th and 9. And what you do is punt the ball because there's probably no way you're getting 9 yards on the last down. A lot of Christians think that that's how it is with sin. That because I cannot overcome sin on my own, then what I need to do is punt. Okay? And so it's no longer in my control. And I'm not saying that we need to control it. I'm saying this. When Christians punt, basically what they do is they just give up and they go, it doesn't matter anymore because I can't be righteous anymore or anyway, so I'm just going to live life the way that I feel like it. I'm going to do my best and God's going to have to forgive me because I don't know what else to do here. That's punting to me. And so I want to win. I want first and 10. That's what I want, right? And so I want to win. And if it's not working the way that I'm doing it, then I need to do it a different way. And that's the point that John's making here. If you want to win, if you want to be the godly woman or the godly man that God's designed you to be, then you're going to have to stop doing it the way that you've always been doing it. Okay. You're going to have to stop doing it the way that you've always been doing it. You're going to have to try something different. And so, again, for a football analogy, if you're going up the middle every single time and they keep slamming you back 3 yards, then maybe we want to try something else. Maybe we want to try a pass. Maybe we want to try an end around. Maybe we want to try something else. And again, it's not going to be us doing it. But this is the way it works. I can go through and I can try to do the things that God wants me to do based on my own strengths and my own performance and that kind of stuff. And when I find out that won't work, if my answer is, well, then nothing's going to work, well, that's just nonsense. Nothing that I've tried so far is going to work. And what God says works is that I stop being the one who is performing the acts of righteousness, and I start being someone who is connected to Jesus, who's tight with him, who's asking the Lord to perform the works through me, who's asking the Lord to do these things. And I do that routinely as a believer. And so I went through the whole work it out yourself type of thing. Didn't work really well. And the reason I did it is because that's how I had been trained, not as a Christian, but just in life in general. If you want to get something done, you're going to have to do it. And you're going to have to, you know, knuckle down, buckle down, do it. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's from a song. And if you know what the song is, you're old. In any case, that's what I thought it was. And then I realized that that is not it. That is not what God wants. And he took me through a series of trials to show me that whole thing. What he wants me to do is actually, seriously, really trust in him and stop doing things on my own and allow God to do it through me. So this is how this works practically. When I see a situation that I know I'm going to fail at, and it's not just those, but when I see a situation that I know I'm going to fail at, I go, God, you know where this is going. If you leave me on my own, we all know how this is going to end up here. And so you got to do something with me, because this guy in front of me, I don't like him. I don't like what he's saying. I don't like what he looks like. I don't like how, you know, I don't like anything about this guy. And I know I'm supposed to love him. I'm giving you an extreme example. But I know I'm supposed to love him, and I'm not feeling it right now. all I want to do is throw him out, you know, and that kind of, you see what I mean? And so there can be situations that come up against you, and you know that if you are left on your own, you're going to be a complete failure. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that's every situation. Every single situation is like that. And we need Christ in everything. But again, when John is talking about real righteousness and real godliness, he is talking about the fact that we're not going to be able to do any of these things without our connection to Christ. It's got to be me abiding in Jesus as a branch abides to the vine, and so on and so forth. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, talking about Jesus, is righteous. And the point that John's making here is practical righteousness, real righteousness, is something that you can see. Okay? And here's what real righteousness is not. Me going around having a bragging session about how great I am. Is that real righteousness? No, that's pride. Right? And in fact, if you watched me for a half a day, and I'm that kind of guy where I'm going around bragging about how righteous and holy I am and that kind of stuff, you watch me for half a day and you're going to find out that I'm not. Or better yet, just talk to my wife and you're going to find out exactly what I'm like. Right? And so practical righteousness, the righteousness that John is talking about in this passage, is a real righteousness. And so my real righteousness comes from Jesus. And so if I recognize that this is the thing that I'm saying. Me paying a tithe does not make me righteous. Me paying a tithe because I love Jesus and I'm thankful for everything that he's done for me and I owe him way more than that. And so I'd like to show it to him in a practical aspect that the Bible talks about, and I'm going to pay a tithe. That's righteousness. You see the difference? Me giving somebody something to somebody because I'm walking down the street and I'm with somebody and I want to look good in their eyes. And so I see somebody on the side of the road and I pull out my wallet and I hand them $100 bill, you know, and I make a big deal out of it. Pull out my wallet, pull out $100 bill and hand it to him. You know, people will do those kinds of things. And that looks righteous to some people, but we all know what that is. Jesus defined that as not righteous. He said, when you give alms to people, you need to make sure that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. It's something that's supposed to be between you and the Lord, not between you and everybody else, and that kind of thing. And so when I'm walking down the road and I see a guy on the side of the road and I feel like the Lord wants me to give something to him and I'm standing there with somebody else, what you do, I'll just give you a scenario that might go through my head. I see somebody sitting on the side of the road and I need to help him out. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk by. And I'm going to say to my friend, hey, can you wait here for just a second? I got to go do something. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to put my body in between me and that guy. And then I'm going to hand him whatever I need to hand him. I'm not going to let it just be known. No, I might go back and the guy goes, what are you doing? And I'll go, none of your business. You know, and then we can move on or whatever. But, you know, it's like that's righteousness. Righteousness is not something that you do to be seen of men, right? And so there are all these things that people will do that look righteous on the outside, but they're not actual righteousness. And so we need to make sure, number one, that our righteousness is something that's real. And when you see somebody with real righteousness, it's the kind of thing where you're walking behind them in the store and they don't know who you are. And you come up to the line and you realize that the cashier gave back more money than they should. And they watch and see what you do with that. And they watch you give money back to the cashier and watch the cashier fall over in a dead faint because nobody ever does that. You know, and that kind of thing. That's the kind of righteousness that you're looking for. I'm a people watcher at times, and I just watch things. And so I'll see people do stuff. And, you know, I see when people are walking across the campus and they reach down and pick up a piece of trash. I've seen it. They just, you know, they don't make a big deal out of it. They just see something, they pick it up, and they, you know, go over to their car and they put it in their trash can, or they walk over to the trash can and throw it away. And you know what? It's not a big fat deal, but I'm like, huh, wow, that's pretty cool. You see what I mean? And I'm not trying to get you to go out and pick up trash, but you know, it's just those kinds of things. And you see what people do behind the scenes instead of what they do up front and in front of everybody and that kind of thing. And even if you're in a situation where you're up in front of people, it's the kind of thing where what you see up front is what you should see in life in general, right? And so anybody who's standing up front talking about worship or talking about the word or talking about how you live life and that kind of stuff, you should be able to watch them and see if they're living life that way. You know, I was just talking about the whole thing with the grocery store. Do you know how often people come up to me in the grocery store as I'm about to walk out the door and go, hi, Steve. And I'm just like, immediately my mind goes back to everything I've done. It's kind of like one of those movies where you go back in time. How did I do? You know, this person knows me. I don't know them. And I've been walking through this grocery store doing stuff. Did I do anything stupid? Did I do, you know, that kind of thing. And it just blows me away how often people sneak up on me and go, hi, Steve. And I don't know who they are. And so I need to recognize that that's how it is all the time with the Lord. He's always watching me. He always sees things. And ultimately, if I have my walk right with God, if I'm in right standing with Him and all the things that I do, that I really don't have to worry about what other people are looking at or what they're thinking or, you know, what they're saying and that kind of thing. I've had situations, and I know I'm going off here, but I've had situations where people have judged me like totally and completely, and they were completely out of line. They had no idea what was happening. And there's a couple of them that are really funny, but I can't remember any of them except for one, and that's with Christy. I do things for my secretaries because I want them to like me, and so I bribe them routinely. And so with Lindsay, every time Lindsay comes to work, I have Dr. Pepper for her. So she likes Dr. Pepper, and so I stop off at the store before I come to work to get her a Dr. Pepper, and I'll put it on her desk, or I'll put it in the fridge for her and that kind of stuff. So Lindsay has a constant supply of Dr. Pepper, okay, because she likes it. And I'm not doing this to tell you how great I am. I'm just telling you what happens. And then Christy likes coffee. And so we have coffee in this place, but, you know, she likes coffee. She likes fancy coffee. Well, it's not even fancy coffee. She likes Americanos. And so I'll stop by. This is my morning routine. I stop by Roasters, get Christy a medium hot black Americano. The girls at the Roasters think it's mine. When I get coffee at Roasters, it's give, you know, if I want to get one at Roasters, it's give me a medium mocha and give me a medium hot black Americano. And they always think I'm the hot black Americano because I'm such a manly man, right? But no, I am the mocha and they have no idea. Anyway, I get the Americano and I bring that to her. So every day, that's what happens. And this one time, I'm goofing around with her. So I get her coffee all the time. So this one time I'm goofing around with her and I didn't know anybody else was in the office. I goof around all the time when nobody's listening and stuff, when nobody's, you know, sitting out in the foyer in the office. And so this one time I come in and I go, you know, where's my coffee? I can't remember what I said, but it was something like that. I was just joking around with her. Where's my coffee? Why do I have to get my own coffee? You know, I said something like that. And she goes, oh, I'll get some for you. And what was happening was the coffee hadn't been made. And so she offered to come and make it and that kind of thing. So anyway, I said, no, don't worry about it. I'll just do it. And so she goes back out. Well, there's a lady sitting at the counter or, you know, standing at the counter. And the lady looks over and she goes, you know you don't have to get him coffee, don't you? Totally and completely judged me. And so in the judgment, that's going to come out in the judgment. All of heaven is going to see her say, you know you don't have to give him coffee. And all the bitterness and meanness that's involved in that whole thing and the radical judgment that she laid out against me is going to be revealed before all of heaven. And I'm going to be vindicated. Yeah, I'm just messing around. Obviously, blah, 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 blah. But in any case, you know, like I was saying, there needs to be a practical righteousness that people can see, and just in general, and that doesn't come from keeping rules. I need to be obedient, but there's a way to be obedient, and the only way it's going to happen is by being attached to Christ, by having Jesus do these things through me. And so the simplest things, I don't feel loving today, I don't feel kind today, I'm having a bad day, Jesus. There's a little book by a guy named Brother Lawrence, and it was the Practice of the Presence of God. This is where I got it from. It's a really good book. It's just a little dinky thing written by a monk. And one of the things that his constant refrain was, Jesus, if you leave me here, I'm never going to change. If you don't make the changes are not going to happen. And so it's not an absence of desire. It's not an absence of will. In the sense of being righteous, it's an understanding of where my righteousness comes from. And it comes from the work of Christ in my life. And that frees you up. That's what grace is all about. So, he talks about righteousness. And verse 10, he says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so when you're looking at a person's lifestyle, you know, I'm not to go around and judge people's hearts, but I am a fruit inspector. I can tell when somebody's a Christian, and I can tell when they're not, and I can tell when they're struggling. And I can tell those things by looking at the fruit of their lives. And ultimately, you know, I know that with some people, I'm seeing a snapshot. And so there's a good possibility they're having a bad day today. And so we throw that into the mix when we're looking at it. But when I'm looking at people, I understand when somebody is a churchgoer and somebody is a real disciple of Jesus. I know the difference. And again, I can see it by the fruit, by the things that come out of their mouth, by the things that come out of their life, by the things that they do in secret. You know, when people are looking at them, but they don't know that they're being seen, I can tell what a believer looks like, and so can you. And so this nonsense where we look around at people and go, well, they say they're a Christian and I'm not to judge. That's nonsense. That is not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that a Christian can be seen. And so this happens routinely when I'm talking with people who are having struggles in their marriage, for example. So a lady will come in and I'll say, you know, I need to find out what's going on with the family. And so I'll ask her if her husband's a Christian. And if she goes, well, I already know that there's a problem. And she'll go, well, he said that he was following Christ when we first got married, and he said he would go to church with me, and he said this, and he said this, but then, you know, then this didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and that kind of stuff. And so then I go, is your husband a Christian? Is he a follower of Jesus? Is he a Bible-believing, born-again Christian? Is he? And she goes, well, I don't know how to judge that. And I go, am I a Christian? And you know what the answer always is? Yes. Without even a pause, it's yes, you're a Christian. And I go, how come you can tell I'm a Christian, you can't tell that your husband's a Christian? What is the difference? And again, when we're looking at what it means to follow Christ and the things that go along with this, if you want to help somebody out as far as their spiritual life goes, you're going to have to be able to identify the place that they're at. And so when I'm dealing with, you know, when I was in construction, I was dealing with guys on my crew, there were guys who would come on my crew and say they were Christians, and I believed every word of it. And then there were other guys who would come on my crew and say they were Christians, and I'd go, well, you know what? This guy's struggling somewhat. I can see a heart there, but he's having a real hard time. And then usually the next question I'll ask him is, how long have you been a believer? Well, 3 weeks. Okay. I understand the struggle. I get it, right? If they say 20 years, I'm like, okay, that's problematic, man. You know, there's some issues here, you know, that kind of thing. And then there are guys who would come on my cruise and they say that they're Christian, that they were a Christian, and I know it's nothing but baloney. Either they don't know that they're not a Christian, or they're sitting here trying to fake me out, one of the two. And then we find out a little bit later which one those are. And in all those instances, I'm not going around trying to judge somebody in the sense of I want certain people to go to hell and I want certain people to go to heaven. What I'm doing is I'm looking at fruit so I can know how to minister to people. That's the way that it's supposed to work. And so you go through the Bible and that's what you see in Scripture. So I don't need to go around picking everybody apart on everything that they do. Like I said, when I see somebody's life, I'm seeing them in a snapshot. It's in a moment of time and something may be going on that's not good. There've been times when I've absolutely judged somebody and then found out that their mom just died and they were having a really hard, they got snippy with somebody. And now I understand. The snippiness is still not allowed. You don't need to be mean to people and take it out on people, but I understand now. And so there's some more grace involved there. And I'm not going to walk up to a person whose mom just died and try to give them a treatise on how to be polite to people. You know, we're going to be talking about other things and hopefully things that'll bless them. But you see what I mean? In any case, we need to be, you can see righteousness. So whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So I'm looking at their life and I see nothing real. I'm looking at their life and I hear lots of talk. He's talking about people. The reason he's saying this to Christians is because he's talking about people who they're involved with. And at the time that this was going on, the involvement had to do with people who were absolutely pagan. This is the Roman Empire. These people are absolutely pagan. So you knew who the world was. And so you didn't have people in the world doing the pagan Roman thing, trying to, you know, proclaim themselves as Christians for some reason. It's not like our culture. These are people who are inside the church, apparently, in contact with these guys. And yet, even at a time like they were going through in the Roman Empire, there were these people who were fake. And again, I don't get it. If I'm a fake, if I don't want to do the Jesus thing, what would I be here for? I wouldn't be here. I'd be going out and doing something else. I wouldn't be here. So I've never understood these people, but they are there. And so if they do not practice righteousness, they're not of God. So you look at them and you never see the fruit. No fruit ever. No fruit anytime. Just being objective, just looking at it and just, you know, not being mad at them or anything like that. But you just look at them and you just go, I don't see any Jesus here, man. I don't see any love. I don't see any righteousness. I don't see any changes. I don't see anything. If they have no changes, they don't fear God. It's out of the Psalms. And so I'm not seeing any of it. And that's what John is talking about here. Paul says exactly the same thing. Peter says exactly the same thing. Jesus says exactly the same thing. Righteousness, again, can be seen. Sorry to camp on that. Verse 11, he says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And so you have this example of Cain in the passage. So with the story of Cain, you guys all know this. It's Cain and Abel. And what had happened, this is in Genesis chapter 4. By the way, to answer some questions for you, we don't know when that took place.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.